Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, our third and final hour on this Monday. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. One more hour to go. The Olympic Games are over, but football not very far away. NFL preseason week number one. What did you think of it? And maybe that new kickoff rule that we will debate in just a moment. We saw the rookie quarterbacks take center stage. How does it make the market move for the offensive rookie of the year odds? And a ton of baseball on this Monday as well around MLB, the prop perspective on this Monday with Tom Vecchio. In the AP top 25 for college football, the preseason poll comes out at noon Eastern time. So much to get to here, DRS, on this Monday.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Like, we're ready, BSS. We've been reading up here. We've been ready to get ready for college football in quite some time. My man, Xavier Streppo from the University of Miami, big things this year. But having said that, too, and I do love the standing ovation, the Olympics, BSS.
How long did I have to get put on camera?
Are you up there? You're up there. Yeah.
I'm there now.
Yeah.
That's all me right. Saluting my now co-host. For having a college football preseason magazine. Continue, Donnie.
We can flip over. We can take a look at some things. But I didn't watch the closing ceremony of the Olympics. Did you watch that at all over the weekend or yesterday,
no,
I should say?
Just saw some clips. Just saw some clips.
Like, how do we put the flame out, right? Like, does it get the sting? Does it get, just put out with doused with water? Or also, extinguished. Did you notice the balloon that they would have, like, rise every night as, like, the Olympic torch? Did they just, like, shoot that out of the air? Like,
no.
What happened? They let it fly away? Does it fly to, like, Los Angeles in the air across the Atlantic? Yeah. I was wondering how it closed down because I don't think we had as much fanfare as the opening ceremony as the closing ceremony. So I was kind of disappointed. Yeah. I wanted some controversy at that. I did.
I saw Tom Cruise leap out of the rafters of, I think, Stade de France.
I did see a picture.
And I thought Tom Cruise was just like a huge fan of Olympic sports because any time in a gold medal match for the United States in women's soccer, by the way, triumphant once again to reclaim a gold medal, they would go to Tom Cruise. Anything happened, they clear the ball out. Alyssa Nair makes save after save. Tom Cruise cutaway. And I thought maybe he was just a fan, like Donnie, of the United States women's national team. Turns out he was probably promoting and doing other things. They're a part of the closing ceremonies.
Yeah, how about that? Tom Cruise out there on the scene. But I was interested because you want to have star-studded. Now, granted, each and every country is going to make it their own. The opening ceremonies in L.A., like, I'm expecting monster things and, like, an endless, basically, like, Coachella out there of singers and dancers and entertainers entertaining us ready to go. So I'm looking forward to that once we get to L.A.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, Snoop Dogg was already back on the beaches of Los Angeles to promote 2028. One thing I did see from closing ceremonies that was awesome was they went to the Hollywood sign and fashioned it in the manner of the Olympic rings. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. By the way, when we were out in Los Angeles for the Super Bowl, I made it a point to try to visualize and get a glimpse of the Hollywood sign, and I did. So I feel like that's big things right now. So now I know exactly where that's at and can envision the Olympic rings being there because I drove by it from like 20 miles away, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't far away in Glendale. from where we were staying at our hotel to being able to see the Hollywood sign. That's actually where a lot of the studios are in Hollywood. Yeah. They're actually in Burbank, which neighbors Glendale, as I would know, a native of wine country in Los Angeles. But DRS, I think it's going to be really cool when everybody, all the Olympians, make their way to Burger Bun in Glendale, California, as Donnie did each and
you know
every
what?
Day.
Now, if we are, now granted, if we are heading back out to the West Coast here, I would like to get a chance there and go to Burger Bar and see everything signed on the wall. Maybe even get some little bit of an advertisement here for the network through there. At least some free food at that point.
Listen, it is one of my favorite inside stories around the Sports Grid Network. It was my first time meeting Donnie Wrightside in person at the L.A. Super Bowl now 3 years ago. And where we stayed, our hotel, was walking distance across the street to a small little shopping mall that is characteristic of L.A., a bunch of random places in this small little shopping plaza, including a great establishment called Burger Bun that Donnie went to every single day. Every day in Los Angeles, he had lunch, or really de facto his dinner, because he would go to bed at 3 p.m. Pacific time to be up for the early morning hours at Burger Bun. So much so that the owner of the shop loved Donnie, and then de facto the rest of the Sports Grid Network, that we signed the wall in Sharpie and took a photo superstar, like we had just won our own gold medal. It was good. It was good stuff.
Now, you want an even better story from there? So get this, right? Yeah. Kevin and I have been doing shows for quite some time together. You ready for this, people? I come in very late because my flight was canceled that day. So I end up getting to Los Angeles, and Dave Sharapan picks me up like at 1 a.m. L.A. time. Get in, don't see anybody. I come off the elevator the very next morning, and back then it was still COVID. So I had the COVID mask on, and I had a hat on, came off the elevator. I'd never seen Kevin in person before, but he was 15 feet from me. Make a right out of there, dap him up and say hello. And he treated me like I was some bum on the street. He had no idea who I was until he heard my voice. So I always get to play that up with Kevin. Can you imagine that? Like if we see each other, it's like, yo, what's going on, man? I dapped him up, and he might have thought I was just some random guy out of the hotel. Who is this guy? And he will never live that down. So we got some great stories coming out of that Los Angeles Super Bowl, including that one there.
We did. And me asking you about certain trade deadline moves and you having no idea what I was talking about.
COVID tests, all that stuff,
We did. We did have to take some as soon as we arrived. All right, now to what we were going to talk about here in our Fade the Public poll, hearing from the people about the NFL's new kickoff rule. Did you enjoy it preseason week number one in full? That was the question in Fade the Public. Week number one of the preseason, Hall of Fame game that actually featured some scoring as well. So 17 in total. So far, are you enjoying the NFL's new kickoff rule, the dynamic kickoff, as they are calling it? Pretty even split here out of the public. 48.8% saying yes, 51.2% saying no, near 50-50. Which side does Donnie agree with?
Yeah, I voted yes, so I'm sort of, fading the public here by a few percentage points. But hear me out on this, too. So the question is, so far, do you like the new kickoff rule? If we're equating it to what we used to see previously, let's just say 15 years ago, no, we don't like this rule because we're used to tradition here, which means I'm going to kick off, a guy's going to catch the football around the five-yard line, we're going to get a natural return, and it's Devin Hester, it's Dante Hall, it's Brian Mitchell. It's great returners here that have a legitimate chance to go to the house. But if we're comparing this to what we saw the past 5 years, you should absolutely be voting yes at this point, because at least you get some sort of action. Now, also, doubling down on this, Rob Costell tweets in, yes, but I can't tell where the football is after the kicker because of the camera angle. Like, did they not go over this at all? I understand, like, we were watching it as a first time, but the meetings would have been like, how do we cover this? And why is the coverage just like the other kickoffs? We always saw the kickoff go down and follow the football. Now it looks like they're not sure what camera to put on, so you never know where the football is, who's moving, or where the returners are. Get that squared away, because I do think that's hampering. It's like, I don't even know what's going on at this point. Get a decent camera angle. I think this vote will be completely different over the next 2 weeks, Ben.
Yeah, there's a lot to make out of the new NFL kickoff rule. I was with some friends on Saturday. We were watching some of these games before we had some Olympic action, and it was kind of my charge to explain to them the intricacies of the kickoff. I really enjoy it because I think it does add back in a different layer of excitement and truly all three phases to an NFL game. Much more like a run-blocking play where you have the return team trying to set up something to break a returner loose. And there are disadvantages for not following the rule properly. So I do enjoy it, but still some things I think for the broadcast to catch up on as we get going into the regular season. And preseason is great. It is going to become so much more of a focus once we get to meaningful regular season action in just a few weeks. More NFL news and notes up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One of the great things about preseason football, you get to see rookies around the National Football League make their NFL debuts. And for a ton of rookies at the quarterback spot, we got a lot of action over this full first weekend of NFL preseason contest. That featured number one overall pick, Caleb Williams, making his NFL debut on Saturday in Buffalo. Number two overall pick, Jaden Daniels, spinning it on Saturday at MetLife. Drake May saw a possession for New England on Thursday. And then some pretty strong sample sizes out of Michael Penix Jr., J.J. McCarthy, and Bo Nix to round out the weekend. So it ties us back to the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year odds. Caleb Williams of Chicago remains that favorite at plus 150. Jaden Daniels, number two overall pick, looking good in his NFL preseason debut, now 6-1. Marvin Harrison Jr. rounds out the top three at plus 850. Again, entering the first week of the preseason, Caleb was the short favorite, same price, plus 140, but both Daniels and Harrison Jr. tied for the second best number at 7-1, so the market working positively in the manner of Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, and again, it should be working that way because he is the starter. He, barring injury, he is going to play all 17 weeks, and also he has an unbelievable talent and athletic ability to get outside of the pocket and run for hundreds of yards on the season. I even think he can approach that 7, 8, 900 range if he does stay healthy and he's electric, as I think he's going to be. But obviously, Caleb Williams set up the – he's going to be fine. I really think he's going to be great in Chicago, so it's going to be hard to upend him. Therefore, I do agree with that plus 140 price. But if you are looking a little bit farther down the list, yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to have a very good season. Xavier Worthy, obviously playing with maybe the best quarterback of all time. Malik Nabers, an unbelievable talent. Just, I don't know if that offense is going to be able to give him enough of what he needs. But when you slide it down and take a look at Michael Penix Jr. at 75-1,
yeah,
you say, boy, that's a great price. Well, we obviously understand he's not starting here. But if you are saying, all right, I like, let's just say Jaden Daniels, Ben, at a 6-1 price, wouldn't you still sprinkle a little flyer on Michael Penix Jr.? Because let's just say, and nobody's rooting for this, but it's football and it happens, and you saw it last year. Let's just say Kirk Cousins gets injured, whether it be a concussion, whether it be an Achilles or a knee, and let's just say he's even down, not for the season, Ben, 2 to 3 weeks. Penix comes in and plays great football. I don't know if they ever go back to Kirk Cousins at this point. So that 75-1 price is interesting if there is an injury. Now, is that going to be your five-star best play of the season? Right. Michael Penix Jr. to be rookie of the year? No, it isn't. But at that price point, a couple dollars just might make some sense.
Yeah, no, I hear your point, absolutely. And the talent in the offense around whatever quarterback takes the spot for Atlanta should be enough to pad the stats. And obviously, the outlook for the Falcons is favorable entering this year, the divisional favorites in the NFC South. But that's all because of Kirk Cousins. And if it is injury, it's bad news for Atlanta because you invested in Kirk Cousins as well. Four-year, $180 million deal with $100 mil guaranteed. If Michael Penix Jr. is in the Offensive Rookie of the Year running, I think that's a bad sign for the Falcons because let's even say, DRS, it's an injury. It's unforeseen. It is something that nobody would hope for in the ATL. But Penix does come in and look the part of the Rookie of the Year. Do you go back to Kirk Cousins in 2025? Do you just try to get rid of the deal with so much invested? It's why the pick has never made sense to me to have Michael Penix Jr. there, despite him getting a ton of run throughout the preseason.
You're right about it. Nobody agree with it. They can say all they want. Like, we probably won't ever be up in them. If we expect Kirk Cousins to be a quarterback, I understand why you're trying to play the long game here. Because if you just take a look at the Green Bay Packers, it has worked in specific instances. But if you were being honest, like, hey, Kirk Cousins, I'm coming to town. Where are we drafting in the top 10? Ooh, man, imagine the weapon you can get me. Another dominant offensive line. A crazy tight end to go with my already crazy tight end. Another great wide receiver to go with Drake London, who we expect to be great as a young guy. Or, heck, even an unbelievable cornerback that's going to be able to shut down the other team, but instead you got a quarterback that's not expected to be on the field for the next couple of years as a top 10 draft pick. I don't care how the quarterback works out in 4 to 5 years. You got Kirk Cousins on your team for what, Ben? To win 5 or 6 games? No, you actually think you can win the division and make deep runs in the playoff, and another top 10 pick with Kirk Cousins would have really helped. The only problem is that top 10 pick was a quarterback who you're hoping doesn't see the field. Because you're right about this. You heard about all the instances, right? Like, oh, it's a great problem to have because if Penix doesn't play, it means Kirk Cousins was great. No, you expected Cousins to be great, you idiots down there. So get him another playmaker. But I digress on that point. I think Penix is an interesting option. But again, it seems to be cut and dry. Caleb and Jaden, they're not coming out of the games this year unless they're injured. And they should be putting up the good numbers. They deserve to be those top flight guys.
And even when that is the case, when a rookie quarterback taken in the first round, the top 10, the top 5, first overall, they are not often this short of a favorite to win NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. Unlike many other football awards, either college football or in the National Football League, where a quarterback can qualify to win the hardware, it is one of the few awards that doesn't automatically go to a QB. Only 4 of the last 10 winners of Offensive Rookie of the Year in the NFL have played the quarterback spot. Why? Because when you are a quarterback drafted early, it often means you are going to an organization that hasn't won a ton of football games, at least as recently as the year prior. But it's very different for Caleb Williams, as Chicago is expected to be a winning football team and contend for a playoff spot. That is why the price is so low on Caleb Williams. 4 of the last 10, only a quarterback, but 3 of the last 5, including C.J. Stroud a year ago in 2023. If not the two top quarterbacks, Donnie, who gets your look in the Offensive Rookie of the Year odds?
I mean, it's pretty simple for me because I do think Marvin Harrison Jr. is one of those guys you can just drop in and he can have a dominant season. And also the advent of some of these wide receivers coming into the NFL right off the bat where, let's just go 20 years back, first-round wide receivers always said, well, they don't run a pro-style offense, going to take them some time to learn the system. Now they're just dropped right in and can play football. And also, you do have a veteran quarterback that can get you the football and also in a division where we think you might be losing more football games than winning, which means extra chances in the fourth quarter. I know it's easy to say, well, look, the first two quarterbacks are Williams and Daniels. Donnie's going right to Marvin Harrison Jr. No, I honestly believe he's the most dominant player in this draft. And as long as he stays healthy, he's going to get ample opportunities to show his dominance.
Yeah, absolutely so. And again, I think the quarterback throwing MHJ the football in Kyler Murray is a lot better than Daniel Jones doing so in New York. By the way, Malik Nabers leaving practice yesterday a little bit early with what the team is calling a minor ankle injury. Not the best news you could ever hope for out of training camp. MLB breakdowns on this Monday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, it's time to set up a new week in Major League Baseball on this Monday. An 11-game card around the bigs on this Monday in MLB. We start in Milwaukee between the Dodgers and the Brewers, two top teams in their respective divisions. Milwaukee now a 7.5-game lead in the National League Central. The Dodgers a 3.5-game advantage over the surging and red-hot San Diego Padres and Arizona Diamondbacks in the National League West. Clayton Kershaw gets yet another start tonight on the road in Milwaukee against the Brew Crew. The Dodgers an ever-so-slight favorite, minus 112 on that money line. Total is 8. What do you like in the opener between the Dodgers and the Brewers?
To be honest, this is going to be interesting because you do see L.A. as a favorite. They're primarily a favorite each and every time. You just see the name Clayton Kershaw, like, oh, that's good. Freddy Peralta, not as good as Clayton Kershaw. But the question certainly come up on how good Clayton Kershaw is going to be down the stretch for the Los Angeles Dodgers. But I see that 8 number here, and I really want to go over. Forget about what Kershaw has actually done on the field. Only 61 batters he's faced so far this season. Let's go down and take a look at the lineup here for the Milwaukee Brewers. Outside of Contreras and Adames, who are very good hitters, they've struggled against left-handed pitching over the past 30 days. The rest of that lineup, Ben, Churio, 553 weighted on base percentage, Hoskins, 405, Sanchez, 342, Perkins, 454, Ortiz, 353, Frelick, 403, and Montesario, 442. Now, of course, you want to focus on and say how many runs we're going to get out of the Dodgers. And in the focus of the lineup today, expected to be back, I'm showing Mookie Betts in the lineup. So we go Otani, Betts, Freeman, Hernandez, Smith, Lux, Rojas, Kiermaier, and Hernandez. Two really good-looking lineups. And if Betts is back in, we are going to get over 8 runs in this game. Forget about a side and taking a coin flip if Kershaw can bounce back. Those two lineups should be ready to go tonight in Milwaukee.
When Mookie Betts got injured, he was batting 304, had 10 home runs, and 40 RBIs. He was a hefty favorite to win the National League MVP award in front of his teammate and current hefty favorite, Shohei Ohtani. But of course, Mookie Betts has not played now in nearly 2 months since Sunday, June 16th. An added piece to this Dodgers lineup, getting healthier and healthier at the right time. But he will not play shortstop where he has been for this season in Los Angeles. He'll return to right field where he is more comfortable to ease back into the rotation. The Dodgers sweeping the Pirates this weekend. Now they head to Milwaukee. The Brew Crew nearly sweeping the Reds, but Cincinnati winning the finale yesterday 4-3. The Atlanta Braves are struggling at this moment. They have dropped 7 of their last 8 games. They now go to San Francisco to take on the Giants. What a pitching matchup we have. The National League Cy Young favorite in Chris Sale against the reigning NL Cy Young winner in Blake Snell. San Francisco, a home underdog, minus 112 to Atlanta, minus 104 on the other side. That total no longer 7 DRS. It has dropped to just 6.5.
Absolutely, it should be dropping at this point. You take a look at, you know, Chris Sale right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook, who's going to win the Cy Young Award for the National League. It's Chris Sale right now, and rightfully so. He has been that good. This is a true pitcher's ballpark. But I want to focus actually on the other side here. It's Blake Snell. My goodness, you want to talk about shot out of a cannon. His last 118 batters that he's faced, how about a strikeout percentage here of 39%? That's outrageous. How about taking a look at the ISO power number against 073, weighted on base percentage 157. Looking at that Atlanta Braves lineup, who outside of Jorge Soler is the only legitimate bat going up against left-handed pitching, which means the rest of the lineup in a pitcher's ballpark against maybe the most dominant pitcher right now in baseball, that doesn't hold up. Do I think it goes under 6.5? Yes, I do. But I'm more likely to say I have the better lineup at the plate and the better pitcher on the mound, even though I do think Sale is in line to win a Cy Young tonight. I think I'm going to take Snell. Plus 100, sign me up there for Snell and the Giants.
Sale, the odds-on favorite to win the National League Cy Young Award at minus 125. Blake Snell won the award last year in San Diego, has had a wild 2024 season plagued by injuries, but in 4 starts in July, he did not earn a decision, but only gave up 2 earned runs in total. Now in August, he has won his last 2 starts. He is 2-3 with a 4.31 ERA. San Francisco, meanwhile, has won 8 of its last 11 games. The San Diego Padres have won 16 of their last 19. They're a home favorite today against the Pittsburgh Pirates, minus 164 on the money line. DRS, the Buccos, have dropped 7 straight.
Yeah, quickly on this, Musgrove looks like he's going to get back on the mound, so sometimes you have a little bit of angst maybe betting on that side as such a heavy favorite. But Marco Gonzalez pitching for the Pittsburgh Pirates, terrible against lefties, terrible against righties, red-hot offense for the Padres. Oh boy, just got a little bit harder to make the playoffs here tonight for those Pittsburgh Pirates, that's for sure.
Yeah. 7 straight L's at this moment. We'll get a prop perspective on this Monday up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
the jack of all trades in a big way on this Monday. A proper perspective with Tom Vecchio here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Today, Tom will take us through a season-long prop that he likes in the National Football League. Check, jack of all trades. And go through the Monday MLB card with a ton to like on the board today. And a recap of some final weekend action over in the Olympic Games. Vecchio, as always, we appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it is truly the dog days of the MLB season, but football's right around the corner and there's a ton to dig into, so let's get to it.
A ton to dig into indeed, including the gold medal game on Saturday in men's basketball. If you bet the over on Stephen Curry's points prop, you love what you saw at the end. Four threes in the final 3 minutes to lead the Americans and pull away to a fifth consecutive gold medal over France. Vecchio, as you look back on betting Team USA throughout the Olympic Games, how will you remember what you saw the past 2 weeks in Paris?
Well, when push comes to shove, the answer is, I guess, always LeBron and Curry. They'll just get it done when it matters most. But I also think it's important to note that, you know, in FIBA basketball rules, I think the gap is closing. And we saw that with Serbia, down at 17 at one point. France gave them a run for the money. And, you know, looking ahead to the next Olympics, I'm assuming we're not going to see LeBron, Curry, or Durant play. And I think that's going to be a really tough challenge for the U.S. Now, obviously, we know what the team's going to be, but it's not like Wembanyama and France are going to get any worse. Like, he's only going to get better over the next set of years. Jokic is still going to be there. So what the team looks like for the next Olympics, I think, is going to be huge. And which of the players step up to fill that LeBron, Curry, Durant role is going to be vital.
It is going to be vital, too. And also, a lot of the, you're going to have no shortage of players that are going to want to play in Los Angeles, in the Olympics, on home turf. Should be fun to play out. Let me ask you this question, Tom, because, you know, every 4 years we get a taste of international basketball, per se, that we all like to watch and enjoy. Shorter quarters here, much more physical game. Talk to us about, like, just take a look at the NBA and how you get the foul calls in the international game, you don't. Did you like that style of basketball that they played throughout the Olympics?
I do. I prefer that style, a little more physical. I grew up watching the old Big East, so that's the style of basketball I play. That's the style of basketball I was taught. So I enjoy seeing that. Like, playoff basketball is the best, and that's what I want to see all year round. That's never going to happen, but that's what I prefer.
Ain't no foul merchants in the old Big East. And we see that in FIBA rules European basketball throughout the Olympic Games. And the United States makes those adaptations when necessary. Five consecutive gold medals. Vecchio, the Olympics come to a close. Week number one of the NFL preseason with a regular season on the horizon. Here we are during training camp, getting some glimpses during preseason. And let's highlight some season-long receiving yards props. If you're looking around the NFL and you had to highlight a wide receiver, who would that name be and what's the prop?
That's going to Michael Pittman for the Indianapolis Colts, and over 5.5 receiving touchdowns. It's sitting at +108 now. We look back over the first 4 years of his career, he has 15 total receiving touchdowns. So getting to six when he has 15 total, there's obviously a lot going on. First off, he's had seven different quarterbacks throwing him the ball in the first 4 years of his career. Phil Rivers, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, Sam Mellinger. We had Nick Foles in there, Gardner Minshew, and Anthony Richardson. So there's no surprise to see a little bit of inconsistency overall. But in the last 3 years, he's been over 900 yards once, over 1,000 yards twice. And in two of the last 3 years, he was in the top 20 of the league among wide receivers when it comes to red zone targets. We also see this year that PFF has the offensive line for the Colts as the sixth best. So we have great underlying metrics, a high target share, high red zone target share, high usage. He's just not getting the touchdowns because they're variable because of the quarterback play. So a full year of Anthony Richardson developing behind a great offensive line should put Pittman in a spot to have a career year and hit six touchdowns and hit the over at 5.5.
The offense was very good last year to turn to Steichen and a non-mobile quarterback. Now you get that mobile quarterback. The last time Steichen had that mobile quarterback for a full season was Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, and they absolutely moved it, and the wide receivers were fantastic. Let's keep it moving to Major League Baseball today. Pittsburgh and San Diego. One team looking good for the playoffs now, that's the Padres. One team leaking oil, that's the Pittsburgh Pirates. If you look at today's action, a updated number of -164 as a price point as a favorite for San Diego, and a total 8 across the board. Another loss piling up here for the Pirates here, Tom.
You know, I have a tough time backing the Padres, and it's not because of the number. You know, Joe Musgrove's making his first start since May 26th, and everything that I could find, he pitched about 60 pitches or so in a minor league rehab start. I also have trouble taking the Pirates just because their offense can be so inconsistent at times, and I'm not expecting Musgrove to be in there for a long time, but the Padres bullpen has been so good. They have a 3.80 xFIP, which is the sixth best in the league, so the Pirates, maybe they're just at this long road trip, they're just getting to the end of it, and they know that they're out. I can't possibly back them, but I also don't want to back a pitcher coming back for the first time in 2 months.
So San Diego has won 16 of its last 19 games. The Padres, 66-53. The Diamondbacks, red hot. They've won 15 of their last 18. They are also 66-53. And the Dodgers top the division. But the National League West is having a renaissance. The Giants have won 8 of their last 11, taking on the slumping Braves. San Francisco now only a game and a half behind Atlanta for the third and final National League wildcard spot. And Vecchio, what a pitcher's duel we have tonight by the Bay. Blake Snell, the reigning National League Cy Young winner, on the bump for San Fran. On the other side for Atlanta, it's the odds-on favorite to win this year's National League Cy Young Award, Chris Sale. What do you like in the opener tonight in San Francisco?
I like Sale under 8.5 strikeouts, and I know that might be a bit of a stretch for some people considering how good he has been, you know, 32.6% strikeout rate this year. But if we dig into it, San Francisco at home this year versus lefties, they have a 21.6% strikeout rate, which isn't high at all. They also have a 123 WRC plus versus lefties at home, and that's the sixth best in the league. So I know Sale has been great, but there's a small part of me that thinks the Braves are trying to protect Sale and not going to be pushing him over to 100 pitches too often, because their pitching staff is not looking good right now. Max Fried came back, but he's still not great. Lopez is on the IL. Like, their pitching staff is not at 100%, and we are getting to crunch time with the Giants very close behind them, with the Padres very close behind them. Musgrove coming back for the Padres. We know how good the Giants have been. I think they're going to try and reel in Sale just a little bit, and that's going to limit his potential to get to over 8.5 strikeouts.
Tom, in that wild card market, if the season ended today, the Diamondbacks, Padres, and Braves would be in. But the Braves certainly playing the Giants today, only a half game up on the Mets. Every single game matters, and it's certainly going to be a sprint to the finish. Now, we say every single game matters. Maybe that's not the case for the Chicago White Sox. You take a look at them taking on the Yankees today, Heel versus Kai Bush, -330 price for the Yankees. They're not even at home. They're on the road with a total of 9. Unbelievable. Yeah. What's your approach to the White Sox, and also that big of a favorite on the road? Is insane.
Yeah, that big of a favorite on the road, like, the thing that I would always say, you know, is back to run line at that point. Like, the money line implies that they're not going to be tested in this game, so therefore it should be a relatively easy win, and the run line is probably the best route to go, because I'm never going to lay 310 in a baseball game ever. So let's just go to Kai Bush under 3.5 strikeouts. This is his second career start. We look to some of his minor league numbers. He had 11.8% strikeout rate in AAA this year, very small sample size, 10.1% strikeout rate in AA earlier this year, and 11.6% strikeout rate in AA last year. He also struggles with walks. We have a red-hot Yankees offense and a pitcher we can't possibly trust to do anything. And if the fly balls get going at a guaranteed rate field, which is also a good hitter's park, it is going to be a short outing for Kai Bush.
Grady Sizemore, not off to a great start as the interim manager for the Chicago White Sox, but really nobody is. The White Sox have now lost 3 in a row, a historic streak maybe building once again. Vecchio, quickly here, final play of the day, a 22-game hit streak came to a close yesterday for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Does it get back on track with a new streak starting today?
Yeah, he gets right back to it today. Let's go to 2+ total bases at -125, 155 WRC plus, and 388 wOBA going up against righties. He's facing Davis. Daniel has given up a 563 slugging to righties and 1.74 home runs per 9. So keep it simple with Vladdy getting back on track.
I like the look there for Vladimir Guerrero Jr., one of the few bright spots for the Blue Jays this year. They lost their weekend set to the A's, who are 20-13 since July 2nd. Keep an eye on Oakland. Tom Vecchio, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here. More MLB plays next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
After splitting a four-game set this weekend against divisional foe, the Twins lost their final two games to Cleveland, another divisional rival to start off this week for the Twins against the Kansas City Royals. Minnesota, a minus 162 favorite, a total of 8 tonight at Target Field in the Twin Cities. Pablo Lopez gets the start for Minnesota. On the other side for Kansas City, it's Brady Singer. DRS, only a half game separates these two teams and where they stand. In those standings, Cleveland has a 3.5 game lead for the top spot in the American League Central over Minnesota, who's a half game in front of KC, but also spot 2 and 3 in the American League wildcard race. The Twins, a half game up over the Royals. An important midweek set gets underway tonight.
That is a big midweek game set that's going to shape up. But by the way, when you take a look at the Pablo Lopez side of things, his ERA over the past 60 days isn't that bad at 3.88, but one of the better xFIP minus numbers of those past 60 days. So analytically, he's the better pitcher than Brady Singer is on the mound today. But also, both of these lineups are very good. So if we're lining up and saying, all right, 78 degrees in Minneapolis, that's very good temperatures for them. Wind slightly blowing out to left field. That total that I'm looking at for these two good pitchers, I wonder if that sticks tonight. And also, is it more of a playoff atmosphere because of how close these two teams are at this point? If I do think the better pitcher is Lopez, maybe at a minus 125, minus 135 price point would make sense. That price point's too high for me to take the Minnesota Twins. I'm probably looking more towards the underdog in this environment. But as I said, the two lineups do present themselves well, but both of these pitchers also. Probably a slight lean to the under. I don't know if we get 9 runs, but they should approach that 7 or 8 range at that point. But for me, that plus 128, that sticks out more than the minus 152 price. If I think we're basically in a coin flip type of an environment with maybe just home field advantage for Minnesota, I probably would lean on the Kansas City Royals in this spot here.
Also, just something to note, KC played in one of those rivalry weekend series that we saw around the bigs. It was the White Sox and the Cubs. Chicago taking both of those. The Show Me State showdown between the Cardinals and the Royals. Both of those sets, just two games. So KC had a rare Sunday off in Major League Baseball before this trip to the Twin Cities. All right, the Houston Astros have won 5 straight. They are tied right now with Seattle atop the American League West. One less win, but one less loss for the Astros at this moment. Houston on the road tonight in Tampa to take on the Rays. The Astros, a favorite. Framber Valdez has been sensational for the Astros. It's why Houston is a road favorite tonight. 7.5 is the total in the trot.
I think they should be a road favorite, too. So I don't mind that minus 125 or so price point. But if I'm looking at that total 7.5, I don't think we get to 8 runs. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I think Taj Bradley got beat up a little bit in his last start. But he's been spectacular, typically, at home this season. And over the past 6 days, even with some of those starts, an 81 xFIP minus number with an ERA that approaches just below 2, which is fantastic. But Framber Valdez, the best pitcher by far on that Houston lineup here. And also talking about not playing in Houston, which technically is a hitter's ballpark, but playing in Tampa Bay, which is a pitcher's ballpark, instead of taking the side itself, which I do think Houston probably will win this game. I don't think we get 8 runs here. I'll take the under 7.5 here.
When you look at Framber Valdez, DRS, for the Astros, they have won his last 8 starts. Houston as a team. Valdez himself has earned a winning decision in 6 of those 8. The Astros at only minus 126 at this moment. Could the reigning World Series champs be out of the American League postseason here very soon? The Rangers in danger. 7.5 games back of the two top teams in the AL West, Houston and Seattle. A full 10 games out of a wild card spot in the American League. The Red Sox now fall to 3 games out of a wild card spot in the AL. They got swept this weekend at home in Fenway by those Astros. Boston riding a 4-game losing skid, slightly favored at home today, remaining in Fenway to snap the skid and get back into the win column. Do you agree with the odds?
The odds do make sense. I actually think they're a little bit short technically because the Texas Rangers on the mound with Tyler Molly, he did have a good start coming back here into Major League Baseball in 2024. ISO power number against those 21 batters, 050, weighted on base percentage, 263. But you're also taking a look at a Boston team, particularly at home against right-handed pitching, that absolutely matched their last 30 days. First 4 batters in the lineup, weighted on base percentages, 462, 434, 403, and 476. Connor Wong is in that 5th spot today, not so good. But then you get to the next 3 batters, weighted on base percentage, percentages against right-handed pitching over the past month. Smith, 389, Sogard, 380, and Rafaela at 368. But also, if I'm looking at an angle from this game, I think Boston wins probably so, but Brian Bello is on the mound. He really struggles, not only the past 30 days, Ben, but the entire season against left-handed batters. Maybe just a Corey Seager RBI prop, who threw his last 68 plate appearances against right-handed pitching, a 328 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 425, and had a very good day yesterday, even in a losing effort for the Rangers against the New York Yankees. So I'd make an RBI prop for Seager, but also still think that the Boston Red Sox end up pulling this game out.
An early week start for our guy, Luis, don't call him you-know-what heel, on the bump today for the Yanks. And DRS, from where we showed this line and asked Tom Vecchio for his handicap, it has worked in favor of New York on the road today against the White Sox. Now, minus 330 to lay the run and a half with the pinstripes on the road in the South Side is minus 210. So, Donnie, ask Tom, how do you approach a game with a greater than $3 line in that money line number? I ask you the same question. What's the approach?
Here's the crazy thing. Let's just say if it was Chris Sale on the mound for the New York Yankees as the best pitcher technically on the card today, XFIP minus-wise, over the past 60 days. You go, yeah, that makes some sense here because we don't know we're going to get out of Kai Bush. He had struggled a little bit in AAA, second start, I believe, in Major League Baseball this year on a bad baseball team. They shouldn't win. But when you take a look at Luis Gil, he's got a 114 XFIP minus, which is above average over the past 60 days, an ERA of close to 5, an XFIP number that's high, and a Sierra number at about 4.41. It's not as if you're getting like a super dominant pitcher. Is he the better pitcher in this game? Yes. Or the better team, the New York Yankees? But goodness gracious, minus 330 price on the road against a pitcher that technically has been average at best over the past 60 days shows you how bad the White Sox are. For me, probably just looking at Soto with a hot bat yesterday, now facing another left-handed pitcher, which he's done extremely well over the past 30 days. Maybe an RBI prop, home run prop, or some total bases prop on Soto makes more sense to me, because you figure if they win and win going away, Soto's probably going to be a big deal, and you don't have to lay minus 330 in order to get that victory.
Two home runs for Juan Soto yesterday in the series finale win over Texas. The White Sox snapped their 21-game losing skid on Tuesday. They lost to the A's the next day. They fired Pedro Grifol as the manager. They've lost two straight. DRS, enjoy the money line. We'll talk tomorrow. More of the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're walking around today on this Monday, don't just say, hey, have a good week to your friend, your coworker, whoever you see. Tell them what I am coining. Happy college football is so close to being back, I can almost taste it. Day to everybody out there. So you see your coworker. Happy college football day is so close to being back, I can almost taste it. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. Why do I say that? Today is Monday, August 12th. It begins the final week without a college football game until the week of January 27th. 2025, because next Saturday, week zero, kicks off the 2024 college football campaign, and in just over an hour, noon Eastern time, we get the release of the holy grail of preseason rankings, the AP Top 25. We will react, we will yell, we will give you our rankings, and of course, we will recap all of it tomorrow live on this show here on the Early Line. It is going to be sensational. It is going to be great. It is the fun that we get to have as we get ready for a new college football season. And how closely will those rankings resemble the odds outlook for a new 2024 campaign? Last week, we got the USA Today coaches poll. It is not necessarily our official set of rankings that we use for a college football season. The AP Top 25 is that. So how does it look in comparison to the AP poll? Well, when we look at the USA Today coaches poll, the top 10 looked very similar to what we see here on this screen in the 10 best prices to win a college football playoff national championship. Georgia, plus 280. The Bulldogs were the number one team in the coaches poll. Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, LSU, Notre Dame, Penn State, and Florida State. All 10 of the teams on your screen were also included in the coaches poll. Michigan was there as well, 30-1 alongside FSU. In terms of our top 10, it is heavily focused on the Big Ten and the SEC. I would expect to see the same in terms of this AP top 25 on the day that it is released. Because of where things are skewed now in college football, it's just a reality of the situation. Heavily front loaded in the Big Ten and the SEC, the power, or the Big Two in the Power Four. So it's a day that we can put a pin in. It's a day that we can celebrate because we have the AP poll being released, which means we are so close to being back to college football on our television screens. And we'll react to everything you need to know tomorrow. Will there be a move in the AP poll that could move the market? Perhaps. For instance, last year, Alabama was not ranked number one. In fact, Alabama was ranked fourth in the AP preseason poll, outside of the top three for the first time since 2009. It was a year in which Alabama won a national championship. The Crimson Tide did not receive a single first-place vote for the first time since 2015, a year in which the Crimson Tide won a national championship. Now, they came up short of a national title in 2023, of course, losing in a Rose Bowl to the eventual national champs in Michigan. It's all of those trends that you pay attention to in the AP Top 25 in the preseason that will set the trend and beyond. But it's different now because it's not the 10-year history of the four-team format of the college football playoff. It is the first year of sweeping changes around the country in CFB. It will be the first year that we start to correlate the AP Top 25 in the preseason poll to where things will be at the end of a year when the AP Top 25 gives way to the CFP rankings in the 12-team history and expansion of the college football playoff. It all starts today, and that is the beauty of it. We'll react to everything you need to know from the AP Top 25 tomorrow. Again, let's go back to the 10 best prices to win a college football playoff national championship, highlighted by four teams with less than a 10-to-1 price, two from the Big Ten, two from the SEC. Georgia plus 280, the favorites. Texas, an SEC school now at plus 850. Ohio State, the favorites to win the Big Ten at 4-to-1. And Oregon, a Big Ten school, at plus 650. So not load that in right now. Pay attention to what you see on your screen or just saw right there. The 10 best prices to win a national championship right here in the preseason. In the final week, without a college football game until the week of January 27th, 2025. The early line returns tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern Time, live right here on Sports Grid. Talk to you then.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.